Hello everyone, welcome to Darren Matthews and Sometimes Friends, the podcast where I speak to people much more interesting than myself. Please enjoy. Hello everyone and welcome to this episode of Darren Matthews and Sometimes Friends. I am joined today by a complete stranger, but what I'm told is an absolutely lovely fella, as long as you don't pick a fight with him. The mighty Celt himself, Tyrone McKenna. Tyrone, thanks for coming on the podcast, buddy.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, and this is an audio podcast, but I appreciate that you're sitting wearing a Newry top, so thank you very much for making me feel at home.
Sick.
Very nice. Tyrone was put in touch with me by one of my former guests, Ali McKenzie, who is a documentarian and the man who was... Ali made your promo video, didn't he, for your golden contract fights?
He does everything. He follows me about for the last 3-4 years, so he's an absolute legend. Did you watch that last promo video?
I did. I enjoyed that one.
They got a lot of hits. So he's very good at what he does.
Whose idea was that? Was that your idea or did somebody come to you with the idea?
No, I don't know. Me and Ali just have a few beer and talk about what our next promo is going to be. And I think I was just one of the ideas and then we went about. But obviously, it's his talent that makes it look good.
It's good. To be fair, now to yourself, now you look good in a suit, you know what I mean? So you're okay. You're grand. But they had you down running laps of the showgrounds to get you fed.
Darren was shouting at me and make me run laps of the pitch.
Oh man. Well here, I mean you'll not be running laps of the pitch at the minute. What are you doing yourself?
I'm still training. I actually from Newry as well. I bought a full gym from the gym Newry.
Oh yeah, I know Declan down there, yeah.
So that's my gym right now, so I'm doing weights and all that, and I've got a boxing bag and training every day, at least once a day. But it's not the same doing it yourself without a coach sitting there shouting at you to make you work harder. So I need to get back to the proper training.
I feel like it's like any training where if there's not somebody there giving off to you, you're just going to go, ah, fuck it.
Nah, 100%. If it gets hard or something, you just go, I'll ease off here. I'll cut the round short and all this shit. So you need a coach there shouting at you.
Yeah, well, I mean, you're still training and stuff, but you're obviously back at home. Yeah, I mean, are you not? You're Dublin based, are you? Or are you based back at home now?
I'm Dublin based, yeah, but I usually stay down in Dublin like Monday to Fridays. Because Tommy McCarthy, another boxer, he drives Belfast to Dublin every day and trains twice a day. But I couldn't do that, so I need a hotel stay in Dublin. So once a hotel is open, I'll be straight down.
Well, I was going to say, I used to work in Dublin, and but that was when I lived at home, and then when I was working for a company in Belfast, they were sending me to Dublin the all day, so the odd day, so I was leaving at like 5:30 in the morning, and when you drive back up in the evening, you're absolutely shattered. So doing that, plus boxing, like I was working on a building site, that was tough enough, but you're training all day.
Building site's worse than fucking boxing training, I'll tell you that much. We get it easy. It's a hard 2 hours,
Jesus. Well, I was going to say, my comparison of this is my podcast is basically where I talk to people who I say are much more interesting than myself. So you're a pro boxer. What's your current record?
That's 21-1, I think.
21-1. And yeah. When did they actually start counting? I have a couple of questions about boxing itself. When did they actually start counting your wins? Because I'm sure you've had tons of fights. Your amateurs, and then what do you do from there?
Amateur, you don't. Counted, it doesn't really matter. I think I had about 100, over 100 fights amateur. But once you turn pro, then you start taking it down how much fights you've won and lost.
Happy days. Well, I mean, I watched the highlight reel when I was doing research for the podcast. I was YouTubing you. When I was watching the highlight reel, I certainly wouldn't want to fight you after a few pints outside the Devonish. So fair play to you, man. A couple of...
Those days are long gone.
So you're from West Belfast, yes?
Yeah.
Right, you're from the West, and you're 30 years old. So I have to ask you, how many grandkids do you have?
only the four. Only the four that I know.
Is it true that you won West Belfast Father of the Year because your kids know who you are?
But they barely see me. I'm always away, so I'm just like a typical West Belfast dad.
I do enjoy that. Like, I actually play football up on the Shaws Road, so the boys that I play football with, they obviously make fun of me for being a culty. I play for St Paul's.
Oh, there you are.
Yeah, just for the reserve team because I'm 34.
I didn't age out in St Paul's.
Oh yeah, some club, man. Good spot for a pint.
It is.
So I basically I spend my days. The boys slag me for being a culture and I just give them hell for being from West Belfast. So it's been going well.
I'm surprised it's a rave.
No, I mean so far so good. I'm like I'm not even the token country boy. There's another lad from Armagh plays as well, but it's a good laugh. It's like they let me hang out, and I obviously get to slag them and say stuff like, "Train from Armagh and you're from Antrim." That means I'm automatically better at football. You know what I mean? But how long have you been? I mean, last year you won your golden contract. How long have you actually been competing? I mean, when do you start boxing? I feel like in West Belfast, it's three. Everybody's.
I don't know what it is. It's very young at West Belfast. Everyone goes to the gym, gets sent to the gym. Do you know what it is? The boxing gym is 50p a week, and the youth club is 25p a day. That's much it was back in the day. So my dad used to be like, "Nah, you aren't paying 25p to the youth club. You're going to the boxing club for 50p a week." And I think it started about 6 or 7. But I used to go just in the winter months because it was freezing. I said, "And I don't want to stand out here." So I used to go. It used to be a seasonal thing. I was actually watching the Winter Olympics, waiting for boxing to start. But but once I got about 8, I started taking more serious and going every day and fighting and stuff. So about 8 years old.
One of the things that I find fascinating about boxing is how I've listened to interviews with boxers about how people get into it. I don't think I've heard anybody properly say, "I get into boxing because I like fighting." People have been like, "I was there to build myself confidence. I was there to get fit." It's amazing the broad spectrum of things. My amateur record is 1 white collar and 1 loss, but I didn't get knocked. The main thing was I didn't get knocked out, so that's the main thing. Yeah, 3 rounds, went the distance, almost had a heart attack, and had my asthma inhaler at the side of the ring. But that's not the point. I did it last year actually as a thing for charity. Just a white collar event. We raised like $1,000 for a cancer charity, and it was brilliant because I had just got back from traveling and I kind of needed something to sort of refocus me. And the boxing training was fantastic. Like, I've done years and years of football training, but nothing was more intense than training for a fight. Like,
boxing training is, everyone always says it, every sports person has a go at boxing. They say how intense the training is. It is insane. I remember I sent my nutritionist my program for the week because he likes to pick out hard sessions and easy sessions and build my nutrition around that. And he just sent back, "I don't know what to fucking do. Every single session is a high intensity session twice a day, every day." And I was like, "I don't know. It's just a training session." But I love it. It makes you feel good as well after. Like, see, when I'm out of camp and I'm drinking and eating shit and stuff, I feel like shit. And then when I get into camp and say I'm 4 weeks in, I'm skinnier, I'm fitter, I'm healthier, I always feel good about myself. So it's very good that way.
Yeah, well, one of the things that I would always advocate for was, one of the reasons I did the boxing as well was, one of my mates is a boxing coach. He's from Camla in Armagh, a guy called JJ McAnulty. But he trains people. Mm-hmm. He lives in Perth in Australia, and he trains boxers out there. Real nice dude, really in really good shape. And he just said to me, "Why don't you go to boxing training?" So I basically signed up to the white collar because once you raised an amount, your training was kind of free, you know, it sort of paid for it. Yeah. Just go to it and see if you like it. And I came back from traveling, like, as you say, you're out of camp, you're overweight. It was like 30p for a beer in Southeast Asia. Came back, I left in decent shape because I was working on a building site, and I came back and, you know, I mean, it was not bikini season, put it that way. So I got back into it, but no, it was brilliant. I really thought it was good. And anybody that I talk to who boxes always advocates it for, I mean, the old mental health. I mean, at present, it's Mental Health Week. People have said, if you want to go, weirdly enough, I did a show about this last year and it was called Fighting Fit. So my hour-long show was about this fucking boxing match that I was going to take part in. And it was pretty much about how much it helped me. So it was kind of cool. So it's nice to get on and chat to somebody who does this as a living. And you're saying the differences that you notice of when you're out of camp and when you're ready to rock.
You'll be depressed out of camp. You're not used to that kind of lifestyle, and then you go right into camp and you're eating healthy and training every day. Just, you feel good about yourself, you really do. And I would always say to anyone that does feel down, too good at boxing training because it is brilliant that way. But obviously, it's good to make money out of it as well.
Yeah, though, definitely. I mean, my tagline for my fight was, for the show, I said that, struggling with mental health, like most Irishmen, I went and picked a fight.
Brilliant.
So it really helped, but one of the things, like doing stand-up comedy, and I've always had it sort of even when I was growing up about, I was always kind of able to talk myself out of a fight, whereas your skill seems to be talking so much that people really want to see you fight.
I love that. I'm known as a mouthpiece, and I've talked my way into a lot of fights, so I enjoy that at the end of it.
I actually really liked. I was watching some of your promos for this, and some of them are fantastic. But I really like. It's so weird that you're this kind of half. You're respectful of the sport, but the slagging's fantastic. Do you worry that if you're fighting somebody who's not from here, that they won't get it? Like they just see you as just being disrespectful. That you're not actually just promoting the fight.
Yeah, the Irish crack is completely different compared to anywhere else. Like the UK, especially, don't get our humor. So. But I don't really care what they think. I mean, there's a lot of interviews I've had, and I've said some stuff that Irish people would know me weighing them up. And you see the YouTube comments, and they're all fucking giving me all sorts of shit. People in tears call me all sorts. And I was like, are they insane? It's the most outlandish things I would say. Like, just say, for example, I'd beat Anthony Joshua. They take that fucking serious. Like, I actually think it. It's just, the crack's insane, but I don't mind. I have good Irish support, and they understand me, so we're all right.
To be fair, you're over 6 foot, so if you jump, you could probably headbutt him. You know what I mean? No, I think our sense of humour is very important, but surely the stuff you say from a promotion point of view is a dream, because you're not... Because boxers seem to fit into different how they promote fights. Some sit there and let the promoter talk, but you're like, nah, give us a camera, let's go.
I love it. I've always said, show me a camera and I'll show you entertainment. That's my slogan, because I just love it. I love being on the camera. There's a lot of boxers that hate being on the camera. There's boxers that are too media trained, like Anthony Josh is media trained to the back teeth, so he won't say anything funny or off the cuff. Whereas me, I don't care about media training. I don't care about if it sounds good for promotion, the promoter or the manager or anything. I just say what I think is funny, and it works. I've got a good fan base going, so I'm doing something right.
No, definitely. I enjoy sort of the entertainment factor. I also like the thing of the psychology of fighting as well. Whereas the sort of banter you have and the interviews, it's all quite lighthearted. Do you ever think that maybe you're lulling people into kind of a false sense of security where they're thinking you're going to be jumping into the ring all laughing and joking, and then you're like, game time?
So you would think that, but when it gets down to, like, say, weighing fight week, and you have the face toss and stuff like that, I mean, there's been about more than half of my face offs, I've either pushed the guy or stuck my head into them or something like that. So I do be lighthearted during all the interviews and all the press conferences and stuff, but once it gets down to face-to-face, I'm a different man.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That must throw them into like the false sense of security where they're kind of figuring you out as, this lad's taking the piss. And then when you get to the face-off, you're less like, why is he staring at me?
see, face-offs, they're so intense, intense. And you proper hate the guy. Even if you don't know him, you just hate him because you defend him the next day, so... It's just a weird feeling for yourself. So I love them.
It's got to be the press and the cameras. It must be like being back in school when there's a ring of people around you going, fight, fight, fight.
You know what fight week is? Fight week is when you went to school and you said something to someone during class. And he said, see, after school, me and you are fighting down the lane. And you sat there all day going, fuck's sake, I'm fighting down the lane all day, shitting yourself. That's the exact feeling you have. Of fight week, but only it's a week long instead of one day long. You're just going, fuck me, I've fight at the end of this. What am I doing? How am I getting out of this? But then you have to psych yourself up.
I love that you've completely broken that into layman's terms, because people, you know, there's like sports psychologists who have analysed this for years, and you're just like, it's like a fight after school.
It really is, yeah, feeling. You just got a nervous feeling on the bottom of your stomach. You can't think about anything else that day. you're just thinking about the fight at the end of the day. Oh, fuck. Everyone's going to be there watching me. Am I going to win? Am I going to lose? And getting punched in the face. And you've just got that feeling the whole fucking week when you're on national or you're on TV.
It's so weird. I nearly missed my ring walk thing. Basically, everyone had the sort of charity event. Everyone had to pick their music. And I was upstairs with one of the guys who was, you know, going to be my corner man. He was warming me up. And somebody came running upstairs and went, "Your music's playing."
Fuck.
I was like, what?
There's nothing worse than that as well. See, rushing. It's happened to me before, having to get ready, rush, like not taking your time, having to put your gloves on, run down the steps to fucking go to your feet. I hate that as well. Fucks your mental. You're mentally so good.
I mean, I'm sure from like sort of further back in your career, when you must be fighting on undercards, there must be a lot of, oh, fuck, that fight only lasted one round. Get yourself ready because you're going out.
In the bigger fights, like, you get a time slot. It's actually more to do with TV than the smaller fights because there's no TV. Now there's TV, so you have a TV time. And say, the main event has a TV time. He has to be on such and such time. So they're trying to rush everyone else. And you there was a fight against Dara Foley for the title. I was supposed to be on at 9 o'clock or half 9 or something. And the two fights before me lasted one round each. And I didn't even get a warm up. I was literally getting my bandages on and said, "Hey, you're on in 5 minutes." Like, what the fuck? I had to run out. Fucking no, not one bit of warm up. Shit myself.
I love the idea you coming down. You know when they do that like slow walk with a ramp and the rope of you coming down trying to get the glove on, tying it yourself. do you have a ring walk? An entrance music, or do you have something you have to do every time? Is there like a something that you like to do every time?
What do I like to do every time? Nah, there's nothing really that I like to do. I think having a superstition or something you have to do every time, or something you have to wear every time, is a recipe for you to get failure. Because say you have a lucky pair of socks, and then one day you can't find your socks. In your head, you're getting beat because you don't have your lucky socks on. But I try and not do particular things, because then if it doesn't work out, you in your mind, you're going to be like, "Oh, fuck, that's going to fuck me up." So if you have nothing to fuck you up, then you're sweet.
Well, okay, that's probably solid advice for anybody listening who's sort of thinking about getting in the old boxing game. Don't be wearing your lucky shorts. They'll eventually fall off you from the sweat.
Superstitions are just things that you shouldn't have. Because then they can ruin your day.
Yeah. The weird thing is as well, for the only time that I did the actual fight was I grew up playing team sports. So like you're saying about your dad sent you to the gym because it was 50p a week. Basically, my ones, you got one pair of boots and that did hurling, Gaelic, soccer and rugby. So that was four sports you can play with one pair of just the one. And you know, when you're like, I remember going to my parents when I was younger and be like, "Can I go and do martial arts in the sports center?" My dad was like, "How much is it?" I was like, "It's £4 a lesson." He was like, "No."
Fuck me, I was there.
No, it's free for me to drive. Judo was for like middle class kids.
See, that's another reason why I had, when I was 8 or 9, I had my first fight, and you had to wear boxing boots. You trained, obviously, and just your usual trainers, but when it came to fight, I had to wear boxing boots. And my dad went and bought me boxing boots. Said, "Look, he's cost me a fucking week's wages. You have to stay in boxing for at least a year." If I ban him, I said, yeah, I want them. So no matter how much I want to leave boxing, and I wanted to leave boxing every month, I was like, I can't. My dad will go mental. So I had a stick of boxing, stuck for boxing for a year. And then at the end of the year, it was actually very, very good. Went everything. So I decided to stay out of it.
There you go. There's chapter one of your autobiography right there. If I'd have left the Alpha, I would have fucking fought with me. I'm sure you're thanking your dad now.
I don't know. You know, I'm thinking that I'm getting punched in the face for them. Thank you, Danny.
Oh, good Irish parent. Good Irish parenting. The threat of violence at any time. So, obviously, what did you have coming up? Because last year was obviously a massive year for you. You were in the Super Light tournament. You won your golden contract.
I haven't won it yet.
You haven't won it? Is that what's delayed?
No,
because I was going to say, what is that? Was that the next fight you were working to? Because I was going to say, what do you, what has been delayed off this year?
So I had the semi final there in February, won that, and now I've got the finals. It was supposed to be June the 24th or 26th or something, but now that's up in the air. I'm just sitting here waiting. I've got this dangling card in front of me of unbelievable contract, and I'm just sitting waiting. Don't know when it's going to be. So,
because obviously it's hard
to motivate yourself as well. See, training, like I'm training away, but and see that it's impossible to that unless you know you get down to 10 stone. So I'm just eating shit.
Yeah,
I'm hoping to go here, Tyrone. You're fighting in 6 weeks, and I had to go what? lose 2 stone in 6 weeks is going to be tough.
Maybe you could do it like what the WWE have been doing and just fighting in an empty gym.
That's what they're talking about. They're talking about Eddie Hearn. He's got a big mansion over in Essex, and he said maybe do fights out his back. So he's building it now. Like he's building the change rooms for everyone. He's building the ring and stuff. So that sounds like it's going to go ahead. But I don't know if I'm going to be on that. There's only going to be four weeks of fights. I don't know if I'm included in that. So I'd love that because I need to fight. I want to win this tournament.
I basically sort of, if you have that one and it's out of the way, and then you can kind of make the next plan. Is that the whole thing?
I thought
your promo video was for the whole tournament. I didn't realize you were just setting up for that next fight.
No, that was just for next fight. But because I didn't know who's fighting, so it's hard to do a promo about and talk about the person I'm fighting because you don't find out until. A few days before who you're fighting, so how to do one that was just about the tournament, really?
If you actually win the golden contract and it's not made of actual gold, are you allowed to sue?
I don't know. It sounds like it's made of gold when I hear the figures that they're giving you.
Yeah, that's right. Where'd you get that made? Fucking in shops. What's the crack? I love the idea of maybe a contract you're not able to actually sign. You just have to chisel your name into it because. Pen's not going to work, that kid. What are you doing? Yeah. I'm glad you're on and you're a bit of crack as well, because what I didn't know until I did a wee bit of research is you're actually part of a comedy duo. When did that start?
Me and Trum. That started. So I was 15 or I was 15 and I was just thought I was a god of boxing. I won a few Irish titles. I was basically beating up everyone. I thought I was a king and had all the flashiest gear. I was going to fight some guy in the final, T. McCullough. Didn't know who he was, never heard of him in my life. I was walking out, had the flashiest gear on, unbelievable, custom-made gear. Thought it was it. And I looked across the ring, and I seen Trum McCullough. He had a pair of stupid-looking red shorts and a green vest and a big stupid head guard. And he didn't even have boxing boots. He had a pair of trainers on. I looked and I went, this poor kid's going to get battered. Poor kid. And he went out and he beat me 7-4. And I was like, what the fuck just happened? Because I thought I was unbelievable. I was unbelievable. And he beat me. And I was like, I was fucking fuming. I hated him ever since. Hated him for a couple of years. About a year passed and I still hated him. Me and him hated each other. And we got paired up and we went away to like an Irish. He was on the Irish team, we were both on the Irish team. Got paired up and went away to the Four Nations, it's called. And we got put in the same room. And he had no mates because he was just new on the team. I was on the team for 4 years. But he had no mates here and he was talking to no one. But he was going about, and I only found out this after, he was going about and doing pranks on every single person just to entertain himself. So he I walked into my room once and Peter B. was wrote in coffee all over my bed. I was looking for Peter Brady because Peter Brady fucking racked my room and Trum McCullough is just sitting in his bed laughing his head off. And I found this out after and I thought, oh, that man's a fucking hero. He knows nobody and he's just being a fucking legend. And I started being mates and it turned out we're two serious messers. So as you can't see on the podcast, but I've shaved head now because of Trum McCullough.
Oh my God!
I have no eyebrows for the Trum McCullough.
I saw the eyebrows thing. What was that? Was that a bet or what happened?
Yeah, I was well, no eyebrows. One was poker. It's always bets. As you know, I've got a tattoo of Trumbull eating a burrito on my leg. That's from a loss in bowling. See this guy, he's shaded everything. He's terrible bowling. He's terrible poker. He's not the greatest boxing, but he somehow beats me in everything. I don't think I want to give him pool with Trumbull Cully in my life. It's mad. I just crumbled. There's one day, he and pool, I was on the black and he had most of his balls left. No, I had one thing left. Oh no, that's what it was, and a part of the black and the white together. That's how I've never had the luck with Trumbull Cully.
So, we've already mentioned superstitions. I'm thinking maybe Tyrone might be your fucking kryptonite, man.
Maybe. But he's lucky when it comes to baits. He comes to my baits and all that.
Oh, yeah. So if you're unsure, if you type in basically the two boys' names, probably the first Google image search you're going to get is you guys dressed up as Harry and Lloyd from Dumb and Dumber.
Yeah, great suits.
Fantastic suits. Unreal.
They look like fancy dress suits. They're proper, like, custom-made suits for us.
Yeah. Chris Suter kits you out, doesn't he?
Chris Suter kitted them out, so they're actually nice suits. But, just to say that we're already known as Dumb and Dumber by everyone, so we'll just have fuck it, we'll dress the part, we'll have a wee sword fight in the press conference, and we'll have a laugh.
Had the canes and the hats. Well, I mean, you're all about sort of dodgy haircuts. You have the suit, I have the Dumb and Dumber
you
haircut.
What
about that?
Everyone's got bad lockdown haircuts, don't they?
So you just thought, I'm going to shave a bit of my head here because no one's going to see me anyway. Is that the thinking?
It was a big regret. I was drunk. And I don't know why I've done it. And I've done it so high that I can't even, like, fix it. It's right up the top of me. I'm going to probably have to shave my head. I don't know what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
But I was buzzing. I was growing my hair. I was like, yes, I want a bit of longer hair. And I was like, finally get a chance to do it. And I fucked it all up, so.
Yeah, I messaged Tyrone this morning basically being like, hey man, here's everything you need for the podcast. And he sent me back the question that, without giving away the magic of podcastery, the last couple of people have messaged me because we're on lockdown. Everyone messages the same thing. Is this going to be audio only or do I have to be on video? I'm like, it's audio only, don't worry. And they're like, okay. And people have been showing up with the fucking weirdest haircuts in their pajamas. So, and I mean, at least you rocked up on a nice jersey, so I'm happy.
I was actually going to wear my pajamas, but I thought, you know what, I seen the Nuri top in my closet and I was like, you know what, I'll rock that. The Nuri man
chatting him out from the town. Well, I'm from the leafy suburbs of Nuri, a place called Bessbrook where Ali lives, so technically speaking the Beverly Hills of Nuri, but there you go.
The Beverly Hills of Nuri.
See, Tyrone's laughing extra hard because he's probably been to Ali's house. So.
I don't think there is any Beverly Hills up in here. There's
definitely not. One of the things I've seen you've been doing, have you got yourself a bass guitar in lockdown?
Yeah, it's sitting over. I'm trying my hardest to learn. I'm actually not that bad. I'm a natural, I think. I think I might actually leave boxing and become a bass guitarist.
You reckon, yeah?
Man, just go to actual. That's been I'd be one of my dreams. Just to go to, not even be big, just go to like bars and play bass guitar and get free paint.
See, I did that for a few years. I play drums, and you think that's all well and good, and then you're like, actually, money would be nice too.
Money would be nice.
Yeah, that's one of the things I've done with the lockdown thing. I went and, like, I hadn't played in years because when I emigrated, I sold my kit and it helped basically pay for my passage when I moved the first time. And then I got an electronic kit, so just one I can wear my headphones with so you're not annoying the neighbours because we moved into a new house and you don't want to piss off the neighbours straight away.
Yeah.
So I bought that. So I was chatting to a mate of mine and I basically said, this lockdown has been a complete regression to my teenage years. I've got long hair and a drum kit.
That's what me and Ali were just saying yesterday. Like, I've stopped drinking the last few weeks, but to start, all I was doing was drinking, eating shit, playing Call of Duty, and practicing guitar. I sound like a 16-year-old kid. It's ridiculous.
Absolutely. I mean, I think everyone's sort of doing the same. There is a lot of pressure. I put up a thing on my Instagram the other day, which was basically the lie that is social media. Which was a photo of my brand new, you know, lovely Under Armour gym trainers on sale. Not made of fucking money. And but the next thing was, I was like, you know, people look at this stuff and then feel bad that they're not learning, they're not trying to run a marathon in lockdown. And then I says, but if you just scan over, you'll see what came with the same delivery. And it was a box of beer, 20 beers.
I see Instagram, people's Instagram, even boxers putting up all their dieting away and their training away. And then I talked to them, I know them personally, and I'll be texting them. Yeah, I still, they're like, no, we've barely done anything. I've just been drinking and eating shit. Or like you can make yourself into something completely different on Instagram if you want. Even me, like, people probably think I'm some Jimi Hendrix on the bass guitar and training flat out and stuff like that. But you're not. I wouldn't believe a thing you see on Instagram.
This is probably a bad time to point out that Jimi Hendrix didn't play the bass, but there you go.
No, I'm sure he could have if he wanted to.
Oh, yeah, he definitely could. That probably would have been easier. He was like, hang on, one finger instead of all of them. Yeah, I mean. Well,
don't you try and make a show of me.
I probably shouldn't, because, I mean, I certainly don't want to fucking fight you, so there you go.
You only live across the street too. I'll be hunting you down.
This is so Belfast. I know you live it. Or my favourite one, I don't give a fuck who your dad is. Oh man. Well, I mean, I think I speak on behalf of anybody, even though this is only an audio podcast. I myself was disappointed when I found out that I was going to be talking to Tyrone and you weren't actually the getaway driver from Snatch Nightmare.
And I'll hear, I'll see the name Tyrone, especially in America. See, I lived in America for about a year and a half, 2 years. And see me called Tyrone and being white, it's really, really fucking weird. I'm going to get, you get medicals every year in boxing. I'm waiting in the waiting area and this big fat black guy comes out. Tyrone McKenna, I get up and I start walking to, and he pulls his face, his angry face looking at me going, no, no. Tyrone McKenna. And I said, yeah, Tyrone McKenna. And he said, no, Tyrone. He said, I'm fucking called Tyrone. Tyrone McKenna. And he burst out loud. He said, you ain't called Tyrone. You ain't called Tyrone. I said, I fucking am. That's my name. He just laughed. He said, that's a black name out here. I said, well, it's not in Ireland, so.
You should have said it's a county where I come from.
No one believes it. Like in Ireland, or in America, I had to tell them about 10 times the name. They kept going. I said, my name's Tyrone. They go, yeah, Tyrell, Terrence. And they wouldn't believe you're called Tyrone at all. And then just laugh when you're called Tyrone.
See, look, this happens where we are because, obviously, you say, like, it's not a very common name, especially in West Belfast. It's just Sean that, you know, everybody got up there.
Sean and Mickey.
Yeah, everybody I play football with. Sean, give it to Mick. Over to Mickey. Back to Shawnee. Is that the same person or what? Yeah, I remember I said to one of the boys when I started playing there, I was like, how's it going, lads? I'm my name's Darren. And he went, Darren, you're Protestant. But no, the name is funny. The same thing happened. One of my best mates, the guy I went to school with, his name's Gino. His name is actually Gino Lynch. And that's because his granny was Italian. So his dad
gave
an Italian name. But whenever people say to him, what's your name? And he goes, Gino. They're like, no, not your nickname. What's your name? He's like, my name is Gino. He has this conversation every fucking time. I'm sure you do the same.
Yeah, it gets tiring. I don't know what I enjoy it because especially in America, it's just a laugh that no one will believe you're called Tyrone. And do you know what I hate as well? Going to Starbucks and having to tell them your name and never get it. Trump McCullough just stop using his name now. He just calls himself like Stephen or something.
Yeah. What I do, I used to live in Canada and when I would say, I would say Darren, so there's two syllables in that. I would always get my coffee cup. I go, Darren. And then at the end of the counter, you'd hear, Dan. I was like, just call me Dan. I was like, I'd be standing there for ages. And then, she would go get the staff member who took the order and they'd come back over and they'd be like, the ginger guy. I'm like,
ginger guy.
It's Darren, that's for fuck's sake. I don't watch it. I might fight you now. I had to cut my hair when that fucker got famous. I had long hair, but like longer than his. And then people were like, "Ain't looking against here." I was like, "I wish I had his fucking money. Fuck you."
Yeah, big thing.
But
that's disrespect, right there.
I know. You have to understand as well that because as you're saying, I'm from Newry, so my name's Darren, which is how I pronounce it and how my mother pronounces it. Everyone else where I'm from, growing up, calls me Darn.
I call you Darn. I call you Darn.
Yeah, it's D A R N. Darn. That's the pronunciation here.
E-R-N?
D-A-R-R-E-N is the proper spelling, yeah, but the pronunciation is Darren. In Newry, it's one syllable. I'm like, lads, come on. Give me the extra syllable. Darren.
Give me the extra syllable.
Yeah. It's worse as well, because one of the other things that when the Newry accent is some people struggle putting the two T's together. So instead of Matthews, people call me Matthews, like an F.
Matthews.
That's Matthews. Yeah. So I'm like, I grew up where people couldn't pronounce my fucking name.
Darren Matthews. I would say Matthews as well. With an F.
Yeah. And it's just an accent thing, but I always thought it was, you know, maybe I was, when I was growing up, I was like, maybe I'm trying to sound posh when I'm saying my name, but it was just like how my mum said my name. So I was like, Darren Matthews. You got Darren Matthews.
Darren Matthews.
Yeah. Like you've heard guys like Gareth McCullough and Ali speak. That's proper Newry accent, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I know you don't have as much of a Newry accent as them.
Do you know why? Because I'm from a full 2 miles away. The Brook is two
I'm
miles away.
I'm more Derry than Newry.
Derry? Oh, don't say stuff like that. Jesus Christ.
You remember your Derry accent?
Oh, no. No, I think my accent sort of softened up because I've lived in so many places. So it was either soften the accent or possibly starve to death.
That's what Trumacully's like. Trumacully, he obviously lives flat out in Belfast and Derry. So he'll have different ways of talking when he's with Derry friends. When he's with us, so I'll hang about with him and his Derry friends, and he'll be saying, "Hey, do you know the way you people say hey at the end of stuff?"
Hi.
He'll never say it in Belfast, but when he's with his Derry friends, he'll say it. They're like, "You don't fucking say it, so why are you doing it?" Weird.
I did a gig this year up on the Millennium Forum in Derry, and I said that all Derry people, when they say hello to you, it sounds like they're saying hello while falling off a cliff. How's it going? Hi. what I will do is before Tyrone also wants to track me down for a fight, because we've been slagging him now. I got on to a couple of questions, and I have one or two questions for you that people have sort of sent in on Twitter. I don't know if you got any on your Instagram. I just got a couple sent to me. So obviously the one you would have saw, because I think he's tagged in it, was our Gareth McCullough sent me one. Now basically it was about you going down the showgrounds. Apparently last time you were there, Newry got absolutely tanked.
Oh, these were terrible. I mean, Ali's singing your praises. He's a diehard Newry football fan, and he was singing the praises. So excited for me coming to the grounds. Like it's some sort of magical paradise. And I went, it actually was, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the day. It was, went up this wee box to watch the thing, and there's free drinks. So I was loving life, but he's got tanked. They were absolutely shit.
To be fair, the team didn't exist like 4 years ago, so they're doing all right.
They are doing pretty good, but I just grieved. I got a few drinks and me and started grieving Coach Darn, and I don't know if he was happy or not, but he just got spattered on the field and came into me hurling abuse.
Yeah, that's what you want after a bad day.
It is exactly. And then he was just looking at me like, I can't hit him because he's battering me, so he was in a tough spot.
Well, basically, Gareth's question was, ask the big legend who his favourite football team is.
Well, it's Everton at heart, but then Ben Newry, they're battling.
Absolutely. Blue suits you. So no wonder you like the jersey.
Blue, that's what it's all about.
Happy days. You would get on well with my mate, Steve-O. He does the Farmer Michael character. I gig with him quite a bit. He's a massive Everton fan.
I know, yeah. I've talked to him a few times, and he's a nice guy.
Steve's a good dude. He's next week he's doing a sponsored cycle for the Irish Wheelchair Association, and he's already raised $35,000.
I don't know. I donated, don't you worry.
I found him a few pounds.
I didn't know he had that, like something wrong with him, like he can't walk properly or something like that.
Steve was in a massive motorbike crash when he was like 18. He was nearly paralyzed. He's limited use.
I'm doing a 5K bike ride, and I was like, that's fuck all, what's he talking about? And I was like, that's ridiculous, a 5K bike ride. And then he went on, he talked about his what his health problem is, and I was like, okay, that does sound fucking challenging now. Yeah. So, fair play to him.
I'm looking forward to it. When you talk about sort of telling jokes and people not getting your humor, I put up a thing about him doing the bike ride. And I said, I told him I'd give him 50 quid if he did it on rollerblades, but apparently that's in bad humour. Now, Steve loved that joke. I got a couple of "you shouldn't be saying stuff like that." And I was like, "He's my fuck off. He's my mate."
Nah, yeah, you. I think you can slay any Irish person about anything, and they don't give a fuck. They're just, you can absolutely slay them. Say some, like, their brother dies. That day you could slay him about it, and it'd be all right. Like Paddy Barnes got dropped a body shot in his world title fight. And he went to the change room, and me and Trouble Cullen all went in and slagged him for rolling about the ground and about his body shot. I mean, that's
not for taking the body shot, but for going down like he'd been tackled in a soccer match.
He's the only man to get concussion from a body shot. He went to the hospital and thought he had concussion when he got hit. He got stopped on a body shot. How can you get a fucking concussion from a body shot? And he said he blamed it on the rain. He said the rain made the ring slippy, and that's why he fell.
Paddy Barnes, if you're listening, I also don't want to fight you, okay?
You've got a long list of people you're going to have to fight off this.
Oh, that was great. This is bad crack. And I foolishly told you where I live. if I look out my window and I just see loads of wee lads running around in shorts and band clubs on, I'll be like, oh, for fuck's sake, they know I'm here. Yeah, one of the things I wanted to ask you about as well, now we're talking about the back end of the boxing and less of the slagging. I need you to explain this to me and to the people who listen. Your weight class, your official weight class you fight at is super light, is it?
No, it's high super light.
Super light. Why does your weight class sound like a shit beer?
Do you know what? It used to be called light welterweight. And then it just changed like last year, a year before, to super lightweight, which I wasn't happy with myself.
Yeah,
because it sounds like I go out in and eat out and can't handle my drink, and I'm a super lightweight and have to get dragged home. Our Kieran McKenna, he's a super lightweight. I'm not going for a pint with him, man.
Yeah, I think maybe it sounds like they were trying to rebrand it like an American, where if everything's super, you sound great. You know what I mean? Ah, oh, he's a super lightweight.
That's actually who did. It was Americans rebranded it super lightweight.
Yeah. You're like, mate, super light sounds like something I'm going to get made fun of for back home. You can't be calling that.
Exactly.
Yeah, like a welterweight. I'm going to hit you a welt. You know what I mean? That's
just more... super light. There's a few ways they change. Like straw weight. No one would be scared of a straw weight. That just sounds pathetic.
Yeah. Although there is then people talk about like the straw that broke the camel's back and all that kind of stuff. So you got to, yeah. What is the official weight for your weight class? Like what's your sort of
10
stone? And how much leeway do you get either way?
Neither. None. So you have to be 10 stone. You can be later than 10 stone, but you're not going to be later than 10 stone if you're fighting a 10 stone. I mean, so 10 stone, you do it only on title fights. So if it's no title, you maybe get 10 stone 2, 10 stone 4. But if it's a title fight, it's still 10 stone. So which most of mine are. And right now, I'm about 12 stone. So I'm going to have a long, long way back.
But you're 6 foot, aren't you?
Nah, 6'1". So it would always be a struggle for me to make 10 stone anyway, but now it's going to be extra hard. This is fucking locked in.
Dude, I'm 5'8". 10 stone is a long way away. You know what I mean?
I know. I've got very, very skinny legs. That's what it is.
So you think that sort of, does that help you or hinder you?
It just, what is this? Toothpick legs. So I think that's why I'm so late. But because the rest of me is just normal. And then the wee skinny legs. So.
Fuck's sake, 6'1" and you're with big long legs and you're in a sport where you can't kick anybody.
I don't know.
Just keep kicking them and keep grabbing you.
Heron, use your reach. You're 6'1". But they don't realise, I'm the only one that knows this. Well, not the only one, but a very small arms, short arms. So I have, God bless me, to be 6'1" would give me 5'5" arms. An average 5'5" person, the size of his arms. So I've got them, this big giant, and I have to use this reach that they don't have. And all box coaches, use your reach. You aren't using reach because I love the scrap. I love the fight instead of boxing. I'm like, I don't fucking have reach. Everyone has the same length of arms as me that I fight.
Can I suggest, instead of being called the Mighty Celt, we rebrand you as the T-Rex?
I swear to God, that's what I run about calling myself. T-Rex? I have T-Rex on. That's the body type. Yeah. People ask, are you a flat body type? Are you a built body type? I have a T-Rex body type.
Yeah. It's all in the hips.
What?
It says it's all in the hips. Just on straight at a go.
Hello, exactly.
The other thing about you as well is, are you southpaw?
Yep, I am indeed. Left-handed.
Left-handed. Obviously, the southpaw made famous by that movie starring Jake Gyllenhaal.
I haven't even watched that. I think that would be a terrible movie.
I think one of the things as well is it ever weird watching any boxing movie where you're like, well, you'd be dead if he caught you with that one?
Yeah, no, I keep watching, but there's some that are fucking brilliant. Like Cinderella Man's unbelievable, but there's some boxing films that just make you just look at the doing pads or training and you're just like, you're terrible boxing. Like, you can just see that there's shit in boxing. So you have to watch this film of them win world titles and they can't even throw a fucking jab. So it just looks too fake for you.
See, I think maybe that's why in the Rocky movies, they very rarely show him punching anything. He's usually doing press-ups in one hand or running up a hill with a log or something.
There are laughs that are... they're all right, like, just because they're Rocky. But most boxing films, you should get an actual boxer in the studio boxer because otherwise it looks terrible.
Well, they did that with Creed, didn't they? They had... who was the baddie in the first... The Everton fan when he fought in Gibson Park?
Bailey.
Yeah. So they had a real boxer in the movie.
Do you know who's the best? The best one I've seen is Will Smith being Ali. He was lethal, not.
Yeah.
Is that good?
But is that because he had to replicate somebody's style? It's not that he's boxing, he's copying what?
No, well, it'd be hard to replicate the world's best boxer. I could replicate them, it'd be handy.
Yeah. She's like, no problem. Rope it up. I'm going to pretend I invented this.
No, the people that coached him, like, it was top trainers coached him for like 4 or 5 months and said, if Will Smith wanted to turn pro, he'd actually do really well. He really talented about him.
Right. I mean, speaking from your experience as well, so you have to fight at 10 stone and you're 6'1". Have you ever fought at any other weight class or have you always been?
Yeah, at the start of my career when I was over in America, I didn't really take, well, not that I didn't take boxing serious, I just knew I was going to beat all these. At the start of your career, you fight journeymen. You fight people that, you know, to build your record up so you can go for titles. So I wasn't really dieting properly and wasn't off the drink ever or nothing. I was just fucking about a lot. It was the George Best of boxing.
A lad from Belfast in America. What could go wrong?
So I literally wasn't trying to make any weight. I was fighting 2 weights above that now. So was late middle fighting these big fucking tank of men's going, fuck sake, what am I doing up here? So once I got signed by MTK about 2 years later and I was 9-0, started going for bigger fights. Then I started taking it proper and I dropped down 2 weight classes. One or two weight classes.
How many sort of fights could you expect to have in a year with your current promoters? Do they give you a timeline of how many they want you to have or is it a progression to see how you're doing?
It depends on how you're doing. So at the start of your career, you're looking to fight 5 times a year because you're only fighting 4 rounds at a time and fights that are going to be generally easy for you. But now I'd be fighting, hoping to be fighting 3 times a year, but maybe one in March, one in the summer, and one at Christmas time because they're obviously 10 rounds or 12 rounds and they're wars. I don't know if you've seen anime fights, but when I come out of a fight, you know, I'm out of a fight of fucking 2 swollen eyes out of here, fucking fucked up.
You do seem to enjoy a scrap.
Yes, I love it. So I honestly wouldn't want to be a bore. Like I'd hate to be one of the bastards that goes, from a kind of street. It's a snooze fest. I could box and bore people and win fights easily, but I like to entertain people and block them in the face and have blood. If there isn't blood dripping into my eyes from my eyebrows, then I'm not in a fight and I don't enjoy it.
That is the greatest sentence ever. I like to block with my face.
But yeah, it's just something to love. Is look, like, see my quarterfinal of the Golden Contract. I barely got hit, and I came out of the fight. I didn't have one mark on my face, and I just felt disappointed looking in the mirror, and then. After my last fight there, I had to get stitches on both my eyes. I had fucking swollen eyes. I had a fucked up jaw. So I felt good. I felt like, yes, I was in a good fight and people would entertain.
That's some fairly extreme plastic surgery you had there if you're getting stitched up after the thing.
I'm used to getting stitched up every fight now. After every fight, I go in. The usual works on my eyebrows. See, my eyebrows, they're going to be fucked by the end of this career.
Because if you keep shaving them off from losing bets with Tyrone, yeah.
I know. I was going to say my eyebrows, because there's so much scar tissue, shaved off my eyebrows, and that looks like a vagina.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, what we talked about with your fights now being delayed, or with everything, the whole world's being delayed, what is the hopeful progression? Obviously, I mean, you can't just say, I want to keep winning. Where do you want to go? What's the trajectory of your ranking or your weight?
I've always said my dream, my goal in boxing is a local chippy to own, to name a burger after me, or a pizza. That's my main aim in life.
Okay.
But
Dream big.
But if we can't get that, I'll settle for, obviously, I want to win this golden contract that sets you up for life. Like, I'll have no money worries ever if I win this next fight. So I want to win that. And then anything after that's a bonus, really. I obviously want to be a world champion. But I want to go down. Do you know what I want to go down as one of the most entertaining fighters in Ireland's produced. And I'm well on my way, because I think every fight I'm in, I'm entertaining like fuck. So yeah, that's what I want to be. I don't want to be, he was the best boxer to come here, and I want to be, he was the most entertaining boxer.
I definitely want to see that interview in a couple of years' time, where they're like, Tyrone McKenna, you've just boxed in Madison Square Garden, won a world title. How do you feel? And you just going, has Raffles named a burger after me yet?
Honestly, I thought it was so close to it. Like, in January, like a fast food company in West Belfast phoned me up, and like, the mailed me and said, would be able to sponsor you, how much is it, the sponsorship? And I said, look, I'll be honest with you, it's such and such money, but I'll half that price if you name a pizza or a burger after me. And they didn't get back to me. The half a price must have been too much for them.
Look, I know a guy in Friar Tux and Uri. I'll have a word with him. I'll fire off a wee email, see if I can get you sorted out.
I just wanted to say it as well. I want it to be like a spicy, sloppy, great burger that I can just order. I want to order, like, phone up in front of me, get two Medi-Cals, please. And then they come, and then I'm the Medi-Cals, buying a Medi-Cal. It's fucking going to be brilliant.
I love it that you've already, you're just like, I'm going to give it my name. It's going to be, give us a Medi-Cal there. you had those you had Cracker merch as well. Do you still have your t-shirts?
No, they're all sold out, and I haven't got any more in, but yeah, they were very nice. I love them.
Happy days. They're kind of, it's like a neon bulb kind of thing, isn't it? But it makes the shape. It's very, very cool.
What one?
Did you not have one? It kind of looked like neon. It was like a colourful one, wasn't it?
Aye, but it was a old school boxer colourful.
Yeah. Is that like one of the old, is that like an old poster design kind of thing?
And then it says Medi-Cal, but they're very, very nice. But like a tattoo artist designed them, so they were very, very well made.
I was going to say, I mean, before you, when you get your next fight up and running, could be an extra couple of quid for you, man. Do you have to get the merch back on the go?
You know, it's a lot of hassle. That's why I stopped it. It's just so much. And also, people just want them for free. The thing, I just get these magically for free. So my mates will be free. Are you going to give me a t-shirt? And everyone just wants free t-shirts. It's insane. So,
it's not like when you go to see a Belfast Giants game and they're shooting t-shirts out of a cannon at you. You're just like, no. You need to buy one, because I had to pay for these.
No, I don't even think I make a profit on them. So I'm literally just giving them away. I may as well, on the next ring walk, get a cannon and just start firing t-shirts out when I rub off.
Just have an entourage behind you. Just fucking, what size you love? Medium. There you go.
There you go. Medium.
But no, that's it. Do you have, I mean, for the Mighty Celt, which is the kind of the persona and the online Tyrone, Do you have ring music? What's your entrance music?
Nah, see, I change it every day. I can't stick with one. I just always have different ones. I've had a couple of Queen film or songs. It's always like 80s genre. I love 80s music. So
get everybody happy.
Yeah, so like Queen, We Will Rock You was my last one. And just like Don't Stop Me Now and stuff like that. But it's always something different.
Don't stop me now. It sounds very apt for a boxing match.
Yeah, I love
it. Referee, listen.
Don't stop me now.
My ring entrance music for my charity boxing match was, everyone was like, oh, you're going to get like a hardcore dance tune to like excite the guy out, or you're going to listen to like Metallica so he gets a bit afraid of you. I was like, nah, Elton John, Saturday Night's All Right for Fighting.
And then in the show
I said, I picked Elton John, Saturday Night's All Right for Fighting, because I figured it wasn't the first time that Elton John had been involved in entering a ring. And that's our 1K joke of the episode, folks. Oh, man. Tyrone, I will let you go and enjoy your lovely weekend with your family. But thank you very much for coming on the podcast. I hope you've had a bit of crack.
Yeah, indeed. Loved it. You're amazing.
Right. Where do people, we should probably do this right for you. Do we need to shout out any sponsors, or where do we find you online so we can check out your stuff?
Well, online on Instagram, it's... what is my Instagram? Tyrone McKenna, I think. So, Tyrone McKenna on Instagram. On Twitter, it's Tyrone McKay. So, add away, people.
I'll just confirm those details now while I have you here. I was going to say Tyrone. Well, you'll find you if you type in Tyrone McKenna or the Mighty Celt, but it's Tyrone _MC_Kenna.
Yeah. It comes up anyway.
Yeah, sweet. It comes up when you search. There's only one Tyrone McKenna and a lot.
You know what? Turns out there actually isn't. And there's a reason. I'll leave you with this story. Tyrone McKenna, I taped it in the Bebo days, right? And surely I'm the only Tyrone McKenna in the world. There was a Tyrone McKenna, and he only lived in Dublin. And he got murdered. So one day, it came up on Down South News, Tyrone McKenna has been murdered. And people are phoning me like, fuck, have you, or text me. I don't know why they were texting me if they thought I was murdered, because but everyone thought I was murdered for a day.
The logic of that is incredible. To be fair, one of my mates once left his phone behind him, and I text him saying, you left your phone here. So, I've been that guy.
I love you, Davis.
No problem. Tyrone, thank you very much for coming on, man. Guys, go check out Tyrone's stuff online. Give him a Google as well. The highlights videos are pretty cool, and you'll see some of the press stuff. You'll see some of the stuff we've been talking about in this podcast. Especially one of the questions was, have you learned a bit more fencing since your last presser? So you go on and you'll be able to see that. The stick fight. He's not boxing the Tyrone, but he does have a fight with him at a press conference. So enjoy that one. No problem. Tyrone, thank you very much for coming on. Guys, if you've liked this episode, like, share, and subscribe. Darren Matthews and Sometimes Friends. It's on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google. We're pretty much everywhere that you want to listen to your podcasty stuff. So thanks for listening. We'll be back with another episode soon. And Tyrone, thank you very much, buddy.
See you later. See you
later, lad.